Welcome to Soul Chat, a platform created by queens, recognized queens, to help bring out the queen in you and helping you master yourself holistically. We aim to be the light at the end of the tunnel with topics and guests that speak to your soul. So join us as we take you on an epic journey with powerful people sharing powerful stories and tools to bring out the best in you. Hey everybody, welcome to Soul Chat with Queens Recognized Queens. My name is Ebony Totora and I am your host. I'm so honored actually today. It's a little different because I'm so used to talking to people that I know that are not family. So to have this special guest on was just important for me to do. I kind of thought about him since Father's Day is this Sunday, and I kind of wanted to just have this conversation. This is a real authentic conversation between brother and sister. So I'm honored to have on my guest, Jeremy Totora. What's up,
Hello.
Jay?
Hi.
So,
what's
hello,
going on?
World. It's funny because this made me more nervous than like other conversations is because you know, they always say, you know, you wear a different mask. So who I am as a sister, you know, I am who I am regardless. But as a sister, obviously, we have a different connection than, you know, me talking to everyone on social media and that type of thing. So this actually totally made me nervous. I'm like, why am I nervous? Like, this is just a regular conversation with my brother, but I think it's important to have this conversation because the movie When They See Us is out, so this kind of made me think of you because I actually watched the movie and had to shed a tear or two because I just was thinking about, you know, all the black men being black in America and that type of experience and just feeling sorry for just what men have to go through specifically being black in America. So I thought about you. So I kind of wanted to talk about that, but I just kind of wanted to say thank you for joining me and accepting this and not saying no, because I've asked other family members at times and, you know, I think it could be vulnerable to share like things that we would talk about or conversations or the way we talk with each other with the world. So thank you for being here. But so I kind of wanted to start out talking about
no problem, buddy.
Growing up in the same household, and I know that as a girl, for me, it's very different to not have a father than it is for a boy. So although we grew up in the same household, I know that we had different experiences. And I just want to share with everybody listening, like, this particular brother, so I have three brothers, and I can almost attribute Queens Recognized Queens to them because growing up with brothers, I'm not really catty, you know, I'm not girls who have brothers can understand. We lose a part of that feminine, you know, being feminine because you have masculine energy around you all the time. So you're not like other girls. You're very different. But this particular brother was like a dad to me. And I just remember everybody like kind of used to make fun of me because like if he said go inside or you need to take those shorts off, they're too short or like whatever it was. Even paying for me to get my hair done, like, you know, like you just stepped in and you kind of played that role that wasn't there. So I kind of actually I was thinking about that and like how, like, did you just assume being that? Like, did you feel obligated? Because I feel like, and you guys are going to hear me say mommy because obviously we were brother and sister, but like mommy never said to you, like I don't feel like she ever put that pressure on you to be grown or the father figure. I don't know. I don't know if you felt that way. Like, how did you feel like being like a mature male, like one of the only mature males like in the house and kind of like how you took me under and like you treated me like you were my dad. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, no, I kind of don't remember too. I do kind of, but I think I still hear that to this day. So I think, like, for me, that's why I just, you know, I try to not be like that way too much, but it's like, it's kind of like in my soul.
Yeah.
Like, it's just there because that's what I'm supposed to do and that's how I'm supposed to be. Like, even sometimes for myself, I don't like always having to be like that, but like, even when I was at work the other day, and somebody was skateboarding and there was like a busy parking lot, and I was passing, and I seen the people just coming out, not looking, and I was like, yo, I pointed like to let them know there was a skateboarder coming, but it was just automatic. Like, I just do that. And then the lady was like, oh, good looking out for other people. And I was just like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
But that's just what I do, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes it seems like people hate me for it too, sometimes. Like, but it is for that. I don't know what I'm here for, I guess. I see.
Yeah, I mean, but I think
I don't know, because like even like you said, like with the shorts thing and stuff like that, like I don't remember saying none of that. I know, like I told you, like I figured like men out quick around me, so like I knew like I had to be like a secure type of person, like, a male, secure type of male, like protect the females around me and stuff like that. So it kind of just like in me.
I mean, listen, I love hated you for it. I mean, obviously now that I'm a grown woman, it's, you know, I recognize it. And, you know, it's like, you know, women have their father walk them down the aisle when they get married. And it's like, because I don't necessarily have that. I think a person that will come to mind is you, because, you know, it's, you kind of played that role. And I'm sure a lot of brothers do, older brothers do, but just so you guys know, FYI, he's only 1 year older than me. So I think I was a little mad when we were younger, because I'm like, you're not even that much older than me. Like, you're just 1 year away. You know, I'm technically like on the same level as you, but I get it. I totally get it. And I also want to talk about just, I feel like I know the experience for you was different not having our dad there. And I know for me, I don't know when it hit me. I feel like I still was a teenager. Although, for the record, I definitely did take interest in older guys. And although I knew psychology, I denied it to the fullest that it was due to the fact that I didn't have a father. But that's what it was, because those guys played the father role. Like, this by default, if they're older than you, they feel like they have to take care of you. But I knew that at one point in my life, I kind of like, I don't know, I almost remember saying to you, like, we're basically blessed that he wasn't there, only because seeing how like erratic he was, I just couldn't imagine having that dynamic there like all the time. Like, for the little bit of time that we did see him and just how he would act, I remember just being young still thinking like, oh my God, like I'm so happy he wasn't there, because if he was around me 24/7 all the time, I definitely would not be the person that I am today, you know, being around that. So, like, how did you feel, like, not having him present? Like, talking about, like, the little boy Jeremy, not, like, the adult, once you get older. Because I feel like once you kind of got older, a lot of you guys as boys were kind of like, you know, F him, I don't need him, you know. But how did it feel, really, like, as a little boy, not having that person there for you?
I don't know. I don't know. I never really paid attention to it. I don't think until like when I got older and I looked back. But as I was younger, like you too, I probably like me. I always gravitated to like older males and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to learn things and stuff like that. But most of the time, I found myself just always taking care of myself. So I never really paid it no mind. Like, even some things that I think that are normal or not, like, and that's now that I'm older, I can realize it, and I have to tell him that, like, he calling me to pay his phone bill and stuff like that, and I'm sure a lot of other families go through the same thing. But I think, like, not even to really get into the feeling of it, the basis of all of that, because, like, even when I told him we was going to do this interview today, he laughed, because he know how we are, but at the same time, he said, oh, well, I ain't have a father, so that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Like, he probably is erratic in the way he is because of those things and stuff like that. But that's the biggest problem, like, going forward, like, for the whole generation. Like, because the people before us didn't have good fathers, or they weren't there either.
Yeah, exactly. Absent,
whatever. Alcoholic, I mean, stuff like that. Like, so I just kind of like, because like I'm like that, I think, with every situation. Like, I'm in a situation and I just embrace it pretty much. Like, I thought about it now, like, I got older, because I know I got to be a father and stuff like that. But like, I never really thought about it too much when I was younger. Like, I used to get mad at stuff like when, like, he would call and be lying and saying he's coming, he's going to do this and that. But as soon as he disappoint me, I would just use all that anger and energy to just do the things I want myself, pretty much.
Right.
And you know how I am. I just take everybody with me. So I look out for you, everybody, whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad you brought that
female,
up, though.
So it's different. It's different for females and males about everything, really. Like.
Yeah, but I think we still, like you said, we both went through. I think we both definitely saw some things that we could have avoided, you know, but I know a lot of that is attributed to not having that figure there. And even though we had our grandpa and we had our uncle, we had other people that were kind of sort of there, but because they weren't in our lives every day, 24/7. And before we got on this call, I had said to you, just so everybody else can hear, because somebody else said it to me on the interview, they said, environment trumps willpower. So basically, whatever your environment is, it's hard to overcome it because it can be hard to overcome it because your environment, whether that was drugs, us seeing domestic violence, us living month to month, like that was our environment. So I definitely know that we both went through a lot of things, but I also like that you brought up how our dad didn't have a father figure there either. So there's like this pattern that just keeps getting recreated, which I just think everybody out there listening, I always say to people, if you want to learn how to forgive people, you have to kind of put yourself in their shoes so that you can understand like our dad not being there for us was, it's very not personal. And it's his own like struggles and stuff that he went through. So for all y'all listening.
Yeah, no, but you're right though. It's probably better that he wasn't there. That's probably a good thing, but it's just, I mean, we're all just blessed to be able to make it to where we make it without that figure that was supposed to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause it's, that's the way it's supposed to be set up. Like, that's the way you win in life. There has to be, you know, like a king and queen. And then there's these things we create to keep the dynasty going, pretty much. Like, and I mean, the only way they're gonna blossom and do what you did is so you get them that same energy. Like, sounds simple, but that's how it has to be.
Oh no, I totally and absolutely agree with that. All right, so apologies for the quick break. I have Levi on the line with us. So if you guys heard the last podcast, you guys know that Levi was. he's a part of everything nowadays until he's big enough to be distracted. But until then, I'm the distraction. So I also wanted to just kind of talked about it a little bit, but like what were some of the challenges that you had, because I know we talked about, just to give you guys a little bit of back reference, and I hope Jeremy doesn't mind, but, you know, as a sister, you know, there's just a lot of things that I saw, you know, whether it was just the life that, you know, both of us kind of were into, and just the injustices that, you know, I witnessed happen to Jeremy. Us being young, you know, getting into different trouble, having to sit in the police station and in the air conditioning and, you know, just things like that. But what were some of like your challenges by not having that father figure there? Because I know before we got on here, you were saying, you know, like as a young man, and then specifically a Black young man, like when you don't have that father figure, it's not like, you know, a teacher at school could do something to you and your father's going to come to school. Like, that's very different than like, you know, my mom's going to come to school. It's different. I feel like when you have that, when you know you can
leave. It's like, it's a voice.
Right.
Yeah, it's a voice. That's what you need. As a boy, you need a voice. Like, you need a man to regulate your surroundings, to protect you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you need. I mean, I miss that. Like, so, like, that's why I'm, like, I'm so aggressive, I think, sometimes, because even when he, but I'm saying, like, he even told me stories that even when I was younger, like, I've always been more boisterous than him. Like, I would tell grown men to shut up, or if, cause, but it was because they disrespected me though, and he's trying to figure out how I see that disrespect at 5 years old. So like that's why I think I'm so aggressive, because I always have to like voice for myself, and it's with these supposed men, you know, that at most of the time where I grew up and what I grew up in were men that didn't even like people like me. So that was like trying to voice for myself as a little boy, and then at the same time deal with men that don't like boys of my color or my background and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a lot. I think just like you said, I never thought about it as like a voice.
I mean, I played I played basketball too. So like, that was like, I don't know. I don't even like, I used to think I used to be tight, but as much anger as I had, like I would just do, I mean, I did dumb stuff, but I would try to use it in different ways. Like I would go hard in school. I would go hard at ball. I did have gone hard in the streets. Like that was not good, but you know, that's where a lot of that anger has gone. And sometimes in the wrong places, but I really never like, maybe like females do, like sit around and like sob or maybe like put emotions into it and stuff like that. I really don't do that. But I mean, definitely having like, it's like when you get in trouble, like you said, for somebody to come up to the school, stuff like that, like that's always needed. Like that's why I think like being a father is not really about having money. It's just being there. Like just being there. You know, spending time and that protection, you know?
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. And I actually saw, that's funny you brought that up. I saw a study like a couple years ago that said Black fathers are actually the most involved in their kids' lives as far as, you know, let's not think about child support, but along the lines of like being active and playing with their kids and interacting with their kids. But I think, you know, you know how we kind of live in a country where everybody's so focused on money, then you have also parents who are raising their kids and don't emotionally support them. You know, they're not emotionally, they just, you know, they're kind of present and do what parents think they should do, but they don't provide that connection and that. I feel like kids are like, you're the student and you're the teacher for kids. So.
Yep. You know best, you got the kids.
Yeah, but you said something really good, and I almost forgot because I'm over here juggling Levi as well. But oh yeah, so the thing that you brought up when you said the reason why I asked you, you know, what were some of your things that you had challenges with is because you were on PINS. So for those of you that don't know what PINS is, this is I don't believe it's existent anymore because there was a disparity between Black young men being affected by it the most, specifically even in the town where we grew up, which is Binghamton, New York, where they're being targeted and they're more the ones who are being expelled from school the most. Like when you looked at it, it was mostly children of color. So, you know, a lot of the issues that young boys have, specifically African-American boys, and I'm sure it's boys in general, but for all purposes, is anger and like, you know, being in school and getting in trouble all the time. I was actually at an elementary school last Monday and the little boy, they were like chasing him down the street. Like a fire alarm went off. I don't know if he was the one that pulled it, but, you know, they're like chasing him down the street. He was not listening, you know? So, you know, I just think in our school system, and speaking of this particular school system, like I was kind of told my brother about it, which is this specific school in Binghamton, they're focusing more on emotional health than they are on academics. And going back to PINS in many ways is like a pipeline of incarcerating like little boys before they're incarcerated. So PINS is pretty much a program where you're put on probation as an adolescent for doing adolescent things like not listening, being, you know, getting in trouble all the time in school. It's like school related things. It's not like you're necessarily committing crimes, but you're going to school and maybe you're not, you're tardy all the time, or you're getting in trouble, or maybe, I think for Jeremy and myself, we both were the kind of kids that I always tell people, you'll meet two teachers that knew me, like the teachers who were going to say like Ebony was so bad, and then the teachers that were going to say Ebony was so good, because we used to get in a lot of trouble. You know, PINS and those type of programs used to be set up to really create a pipeline of men like being on probation and then eventually like growing up to just continue to be in that system and really get to a point where it's like kind of hard to get out. So I just wanted to say that, you know, as a sister, you know, I've always been proud of your effort and your ability to really figure things out for yourself. And also to like always be willing to grow and to change. I think it could be like just to see things from your perspective. I think it's hard sometimes to see things from other people's perspective, especially as siblings when you grow up in the same house, because you think like, oh, well, I learned this, so I don't know how, you know, everybody else didn't get it, you know, or they don't understand this, or, you know, that they don't want to live like that anymore, you know. So I always just admire that you were able to overcome, you know, go to college, keep your head up. You don't have no baby mamas. You don't have no tattoos. Like, you kind of always, although, you know, you did other things that probably weren't as productive, I think you didn't ever really fall into.
Yeah, I think that's the most confusing part for everybody, though. I think because you live like that, you've been through things like that, that you gotta be like a certain way, like you gotta be nasty and dirty because you went through that. Like, nah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I think people like do. That. People do. Even seeing you, you know, when you were getting off probation, you were doing like work release, like just seeing you go through different things and how hard it really was for you. Because I think the American opinion is always never really factual. It's just what people see on the news, different candidates and different rhetoric around, this goes way back, but this is just things that I've even learned, you know, with Hillary Clinton, you know, basically talking about super predators, you know, as referring to the black male and how black men are automatically viewed, like you're viewed as aggressive before you even open your mouth, you know? So just like you said, like them expecting you to be a certain way. And then when you're not, you know, basically just having to overcome the hurdle of people already labeling you and like not allowing you to even just be who you desire to be, you know? So I've kind of been able to see that.
I think it's kind of sad though, because like even when you get around the hurdle, you're still hurdling. So like it's really like it's just like a never ending battle, I feel like, because you got privileged people who feel a certain type of way, who just will continue to act that way. So, and they're all in certain positions. So you just gotta, that shit is rough.
I mean, I think it's that, and I also think it's as a country, you know, like it's kind of like if it's like one of those things, I think as a culture we're like almost unwilling to look at, you know. It's like we're unwilling, like before we get on this call and I'm talking about like the, you know, the prison system and stuff, you said, you know, you would have to break it down and rebuild, and we're kind of like that's, I feel like that's really our only way forward, you know, in just this culture, is to really start fresh and for people to understand. So not only just privilege, but for people who really want to understand and want to advocate for the injustices that happen to people of color, simply because your hue of your skin has more melt, like it has a little bit more of a molecule to it than other people, is just ridiculous. But you know, I definitely think, I think things are changing. I think they're slow to change because the foundations that have built those things are so profitable. It's kind of like the pharmaceutical industry. You know, it's like it's so profitable that now everyone's kind of looking at alternative medicine, when alternative medicine is technically like the homegrown natural stuff. Like natural stuff is looked at as like alternative, opposed to us looking at man-made stuff as alternative. So that kind of leads me to, I know I asked you if you've seen When They See Us, the movie. You said you didn't see it yet.
Yeah.
But
I didn't watch it yet.
I think everybody needs to at least watch one episode. I know I couldn't get through the second episode, and that's like I said, why I thought about you, and I just thought about you know, just the real things that you don't want to live in fear all the time. You don't want to live in being afraid or going outside thinking like, all right, now who's going to be prejudiced and racist today, you know, but in the same breath, you know, just being aware and overcoming it. So if y'all have not seen it yet, at least watch one episode. I definitely think we have to just continue to put light on the things and the injustices that have been happening for forever. I don't know, maybe like 500 years, but.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, like, I could just add a little bit. Like, I mean, like, I've been in prison before or whatever. So, like, I've been, like, around men like that who've been, like, not even on some stuff like that, but, like, who just been set up, put drugs, put in their pocket, stuff like that. Like, that stuff is real. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's people, too, who are in there, and they're trying to use that to get out. And they could be bad people, but not saying prison is for people, period, but. Like, that stuff is real, you know? And I mean, only real way to prevent that is to come up with some type of productive system rather than prison or something. Like, I don't know, because that stuff is hard to watch. Like, I can't even watch stuff like that, honestly, how either, because I feel like I've been there, I was around it. I already let it run through my mind.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I mean, I definitely...
Because I know brothers who come home and that's all they watch. Like, and that's just institutionalized you, because I mean, you already did been there, you've seen it. Like, so I mean, to watch it on TV every day is kind of like, it's nutty, because it's gonna traumatize you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you don't wanna keep seeing something like that or being around something like that. I think that's where a lot of people get stuck too. Like,
oh no, I agree. It's like a program.
You can't glorify that situation. Like, you can't glorify, right. Oh, like, oh, I better, like, yeah, you went through that for a reason, obviously, or something. Like, you need to learn something or lesson or something. Like, but obviously, like, it's not a badge of honor.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, but that's great that you brought it up, because I think I remember seeing something where the guy was basically saying like the way that he viewed prison, and I think a lot of Black men think like this who are raised a certain way or in certain cities, you know, think like, oh, like prison is a badge of honor, and it's almost like the equivalent of like having gone to war. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like when they're like free such and such, you know, free Meek Mill, yeah. Right? It's like we kind of glorify it.
Yeah, I mean, because it was turned into that, I think, through history. But I mean,
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's ignorant, because what we're doing is killing each other. Like, that's just retarded. Yeah. I'm going to go in prison and, you know, bang on somebody of the same color or whatever. It don't even matter who it is. It's a brother, period, white, black. And that's not honor. That's not.
Definitely not. And just people out there to understand, like, you, I think watching things like that for me, like, it made me think about how as a culture, like, it's kind of like seeing violence on TV or seeing people who share videos of, like, crazy things, like, people getting beat up or, like, anything that's violent. Like,
you know what's crazy, though? Because on another level, that whole movie, like, that's, like, also on a whole nother level, I feel like, It's a dumb down there. Like, it's good information and it's good for people to know, but like somebody like you, like, I don't know, I'm not saying maybe like you, but I know people at work to say that are just like seeing that, like, oh my God, that happens in America? Like, bruh, like, yeah. That's how America is, though. They just right. Dumb you down, because she like 20 years behind. Like, she just seeing this video. Like, I've been through that 20 years ago and seen all that, met men and shook their hands. And I know when I'm looking at a man, tell me he didn't do what he did and he's in here, you could kind of tell most of the time. Like, some of them be lying, but most of them really been in situations like that. So like that movie to me on another level is like, it's not even like, it's like dumbing people down. Like, it's a distraction pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, like that been going on. That's like discussed, like, and that's what America do though. They it goes on and then they show you like 20 a year, like imagine what other type of stuff be going on. Like, come on.
Well, I think the funny thing is, I mean, I think so it's two sides to that. I think that could be one side. And I think the other side could be that it's like, oh, well, we want to bring light to this. It's like the Ted Bundy thing. I agree. I would go with you with Ted Bundy saying like that is a distraction. And to glorify him and to make a movie about him, it we don't realize that it actually ends up doing the reverse in a lot of ways. And it glorifies it, you know, instead of educating people. But Spike Lee was showing these things like in his movies, you know.
Yeah, but sis, really, like to why won't they make a video on like there's people in the world that are in slavery. Like, what about that? Like, you talk, we like behind, like, yeah, we that's supposed to been known and been being worked on. Mm-hmm. Like people been happening in New York and Central Park and those white women and stuff like that. So they've been doing that. So like, what about the people that's in the world right now that is not free?
Right.
Like there's people in the world right now that think they're free and they ain't free.
Mm-hmm.
Like people somewhere, like even myself, I have to go to work every day to pay my bills. Like that's not freedom.
Right.
Like I have to work like a slave to pay my rent. Like.
Right.
To live a certain way, to have a certain type of rent. Like, if I want a certain type of place, I can pay a certain type of money, I get what I pay for. Like, and it shouldn't be like that, but that's the way it is. Like, because everybody should just get what they want, like, and live in a clean and safe environment, period.
Right. But I think like, you just took it to a whole nother level, and I agree, you know. I just think.
Yeah, because I can absolutely, man.
We just take time. I think we are just so. Program to be a certain way, and to like we're just understanding that it's not about just 9 to 5. It's not, and that is a form of enslavement, and that is a form of keeping us in a certain place. And you know how going to school and the bells and what time we ate lunch is
that right now, like
type of thing, so.
Even the school debt, that's like that's prison. Like if you go and bust your butt and go through school and owe these people $50,000, like that's slavery. Because everything you just worked for, now you got to work 10 times harder to give them they shit back and get the shit you want. Excuse my language. Like, that's so crazy. That's prison. Like, because it was so crazy because I won't mention the name, but there was a brother that when I got out the prison system at like 25, probably like 25, 26, like there was a brother I knew that I went to school with. He graduated college, but he was miserable because he owed them $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same breath, like we were in the same boat, but we couldn't connect. We can't. Everybody thinks, you know, like it's not. There's no connection there. See, he think he's doing something better than me, or he surpassed some level. You were in the same boat, my brother, because you owe them people $50,000, and now you gotta work a 9 to 5 to pay that back, and hope somebody pick you up and with your degree that you have that you worked for.
Yeah.
As a black brother.
I think people are like, starting to get it.
It's the same thing. Like, it's sickening. Like,
I mean, I think it takes a lot of, you know, it's kind of like how I view it is, you know, I think when we talk about stuff like that, I think that there's more good than there is bad. But I think the bad things have better marketing and, you know, people are definitely starting to get it. And that's why I honestly have so much faith in just you and where you're going to go. Because I know that our past just make us, if we let them, they can make us really powerful people, you know. So I definitely wish you nothing but success in the future. And just for everything that, you know, good that is coming to you, just for, you know, putting in the work, being consistent, and not being somebody who allowed their circumstances to really define them. So just want to say thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you too. I believe you're doing great yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Four kids.
Thank you for tuning into Soul Chat with your host, Ebony Tatora. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, leave a review, and if you love it, share it with your friends. And make sure you join us next week for
for another Conversation with Your Soul, bringing you thought-provoking conversations that require you to look a little bit deeper than the surface.